Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Onen tovel v'ochel es pischo. In Onen, we talked about last time. I think we mentioned last time, though we didn't get into the specifics. This is where we are, right? Yeah. Onen tovel v'ochel es pischo la'erev. In Onen, whose family member is being buried, but is not yet buried, so then he can go into a mikvah and get his and eat his Pesach that night. But now when it comes to Kachim, we have a Din Rabbanan, as we'll see in the Gemara, that he shouldn't do such a thing. Meaning he shouldn't, if there's a different Karban, which is not a Karban Pesach, the Onin should not go into the mikvah just to eat that night the Kachim. Hashomei al meso, someone who heard from a distance, and long after the time, right? Not time of telephones, where you can understand and know that you're an Onin or an Avel right away. So for them also, it's only Midrabanan that they're an Avel. It's only Midrabanan that they're mourning and they can't have a Kachim. And therefore, the Hamilaked Esatzamos, and someone who, for whom basically reinterred, you know, their parent was reburied. Another situation where there's a rabbinic mourning process, right? Because the parent didn't just pass away. The parent was just reburied. So for that, there's actually a 1 day mourning, which is only midrabanan. So that person also tova v'ochel bekachim. Those midrabanan mournings, so they are also able to eat the pekaran bezach. Gershin is gair. What, Henry?
I think the article is alluding that they're an oinen for that day.
Are they considered an oinen that day? I mean, I think I.
The day that he hears.
The day that he hears, he's an onin.
That's what it says here.
Okay. He's considered like an onin until what?
Just on that day.
Just that day, he's considered an onin. Okay, and then the next one, Hamalakit Hatzamos, is Avelos. Okay, interesting. I don't know why there'd be such a distinction, but
actually, I think also an aninus that day.
I see here. Avelos, but maybe they're different opinions. Rashi says in the top line of Rashi, Mitzavel Alehen Kol Hayom Kulo. So he used the word Mitzavel for him. Rashi on the bottom of Amud Beis, the bottom of Hashomei Almeso, says Yom Shmuel Have Onin Drabanan. So okay, I'm not really sure the distinctions, but Rashi does call the Shamei Almeso and Onin, and the one who is Malaket Atzamos for his parents, he calls him an Avel. Okay, so I don't know 100% sure all the halachos. We'll have to learn Moikaten at some point to understand.
Because he would, I mean, if he's doing it for his parents, he would be an Avel for a lot longer than one day.
Well, no, his parents died a long time ago. They're reinterring the parents. They're reburying them.
But not within the first year?
No, I don't know about the first year or not, but this is referring to, I think, a Shiva kind of Avelos.
Okay.
I think. I don't know. But either way, so Gershon is Gaber of Pesach, Beis Shammai Orem Tova V'Ochel Es Pischo La'erev, someone who converts on Erev Pesach as if the other rabbis have nothing else to do. I don't know how that could ever possibly happen, that you schedule a Geras on Erev Pesach, maybe to fit him in so he can eat there the Karan Pesach. So Beis Shammai says you can go in the mikvah and eat that night. Ubesil omrim haporish min ha'arla keporish min ha'kever. Can someone translate that for me?
If you're separated from the group because you're an arl, right, then it's one who separates from the grave.
That's not the literal translation. Right, the ger, we're talking about the convert, and when he is poresh min ha'arla, I assume that means that he is no longer an arl.
Right, he's getting a bris, I guess.
Right, so I don't know why the Mishnah uses this phrase, ha'poresh min ha'arla, someone who dissociates from the foreskin. So that
circumcised is ritually impure, like one who separates from the grave after coming into contact with a corpse.
Someone who gets a bris mila is considered tamei mase? Is that what it's saying?
That's what it seems to be saying.
So he has to wait 7 days. According to Beis Hillel, parishman arla parishman akever means that he cannot he cannot, I guess this is a machlokas peshan beisilo, whether someone who gets a bris is considered tame. That's what it sounds like. The only time that he would be able to use the Karban Pesach is if he had his conversion the week before. And therefore a week passes by the time Pesach comes along. Interesting. Okay. I'm not sure how, okay. I guess, I don't know where is this discussion about whether he's tame mace.
It cites here the halacha that if a Jew is circumcised on Passover, he may eat and pass the lamb at night. However, a Gentile who converts and becomes circumcised must wait 7 days to eat the Paschal lamb, because the Gentile separates from the foreskin is like one who separates from the grave. Sounds more spiritual than physical.
Yeah, no, the Gemara is going to elaborate a little bit, but yeah, you're right, because we know that generally non-Jews don't carry the same level of tumah. So this is some kind of the way we see them, not what they are. Okay. Interesting. That there is a shita that gerim are considered tame for the first 7 days. Okay. I don't know. Okay. So Gemara says, my tama. What's the reason that an onin is allowed to eat from the Karban Pesach? Gemara says, kasavar aninus delayla midira banan, that an onin at nighttime is only midira banan. Meaning, if the person passes during the day and then it's that night, I guess, or even if you have that status at night, even if the person passed at night, maybe that would also have the same consequence. So,
does it matter? You could be anointed for more than one day,
right? So, what does this mean when it says midra banan? Presumably, it's after the day of death. Meaning that yes, you could have the status of an onin, but The only deraisa, the only biblical onen, is the day itself, the day of the death itself, as opposed to the night afterwards is only midra banan. I guess according to this Tana, I don't know if we pass them like this, but at least according to this Tana, the Tana of our Mishnah, it's midra banan. Vegabe pes, and therefore because it's only midra banan, vegabe pesach lo amidu devrim makom kares, vegabe kachim hamidu devrim makom. When it comes to kachim, when it comes to other karbanos where you're only going to get a regular mitzvah, so that's when you can override the isser, you do not override the isser rabbanon. But when it comes to an isser kares, or an ase sheyesh b'kares, I should say, so then the rabbis aren't going to prevent you from doing that, right? There are some times in halacha where hamidu divrayim b'makom Torah, that the rabbis can enact and enforce their halacha at the sacrifice, at the expense of doing a positive mitzvah, like shofar on Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, right? We don't blow shofar on Shabbos because lest they come to take it outside of the domain, and therefore we don't do it. But there's a mitzvah. So, you know, hamidu divrayim b'shevi al tasa. When the rabbis enforce something, it can even enforce something in terms of passively not doing a mitzvah. You can't do that for an Isser, obviously, but here, the only exception to that rule, or as we will say, other exceptions also, an exception to that rule is by Karban Pesach, which carries with it a consequence of Karis if you don't do the mitzvah. Okay, Hashomea Almeso, someone who hears about their death, or Hamalaket Atzamos, someone whose parent is reinterred. So, Malaket Atzamos, Habai Hazash Leshir Ushvi, someone who actually reinters the body is kamei meis. What are you talking about? Elamai, as we said before, ema sheluktu lo ha'atamos. Right, that was almost so obvious I couldn't explain the Mishnah otherwise. Meaning that it's talking not about the person who does the actual interment, but it's talking about the person whose parent is reinterred, and therefore they have a status of again avelos derabanan. Gershin is gayer. Amar Rabbi Baruch Hanna, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Machlokes be'Arel Nachri, Debeis Hillel Savri, Gezeira Shema Yitman L'Shana Haba, V'Yomer Ishtakid, Milo Tavati V'Achati, Achshav Nami Atwa V'Ochel, V'Lodei De'Ishtakid Nachri Hava. V'Lo Mekabel Tuma. Achshav Yisrael Mekabel Tuma. So says Rabbi Baruch Hanna, this Machlokes about Beisham Beisil, about a convert, is only applicable to a non-Jew who converts to be Jewish by circumcision. And therefore, Beis Hillel says, we make a gezerah. Because if the Nachri is going to have a, if the non-Jew is going to have a circumcision, so he will think that just like last year, right, if the next year, after he's been Jewish for a year, he's going to look back at his Karban Pesach the year before, and he's going to say, The day before Pesach, I was a grave digger, right? Let's just come up with a concoct the case. He was dealing with dead bodies all day, the day before Pesach. And then all of a sudden he converts, and because he was a non-Jew, he never contracted tumah the way we classify tumah, right? He never has the status of tumah. And therefore, he converts, and he's already tahor because he hadn't touched the body by the time he converted, so he can have the Karban Pesach. So he's going to say, what's going to happen next year? Next year, he's going to still have his same grave digger job, and he's going to be working with the dead bodies even on Erev Pesach, and he's going to say, yeah, last year I did the same thing. Last year, I just went in the mikvah, and then I had the Karban Pesach right afterwards. So it says, so in order to prevent that situation from happening, we want to make sure that even a non-Jew who becomes Jewish on Erev Pesach, and technically is not Tameh, we're going to treat him like Tameh, so that the next year he doesn't have that same misconceived notion. So the Gemara then continues.
Do they have people buried on Erev Pesach? Do they
I'm sure people die on Erev Pesach, yeah. Yeah, you would conduct a funeral on Erev Pesach. It would be a much abridged funeral, but you would still do it, I think. I think so. I'm trying to remember if I've ever seen it. I don't think I've seen it, but I would think you do. The other option is to wait until the first day of Chol HaMoed, which is complicated. And obviously it depends on family and travel or whatever, but yeah. Ube Shammai Savri, and Beis Shammai says, Lo Gazrinan, we don't make such a gazera. The person is going to know, presumably the person, according to Beis Shammai, would know that there's a difference between becoming Tameh and then converting, and becoming Tameh and not converting. Right, he's not going to get confused. Aval Aral Yisrael, Dibri Akol Tov Ochas Pischol Erev. According to Rabbi Rachana, someone who is an Ara, but he's already Jewish, he just never had a bris milah, so that kind of person, we're not worried about him. He doesn't have to wait for the next year because he doesn't have that same issue, right? Because if he would have touched tumah beforehand, so he's going to be tummy regardless of the fact that he's now having a circumcision. Right, according to Rabbi Ruchana, there's no reason for Vlogas Yuna Ari Yisrael Mishim Achor Nachri. We're not going to make a gezerah for the Jew, lest he come to think he's like the non-Jew who did the same thing. Right, so Tanan.
But what does the Jew have to do if he becomes Tameh? Say Divrei Kol Kol Vlogas Kipolet. Right, a Jew can be Tovel, and he's going to eat the Korban Pesach that night. Right.
Yeah, but that's not because he's Tameh.
What do you mean?
So this is, you're implying a good question, which is Tosus's question, which is why is the person who has to have a circumcision, why does he have to go in the mikvah? There's no reason for someone who has a circumcision to go in the mikvah. They're not Tameh. The Gemara's situation here is
actually, that wasn't my question. That's a good question.
Yeah, thank you. It's Tosos.
But the question I had is, so a Jew, now the Ger, the next year is a full Jew, right?
Yeah.
Is he a Jew?
Yeah.
So if he contracts tumah,
yeah,
does he eat the Korban Pesach that night if he's toivel?
Not if he's tamei meis. You have to wait a week. If he's tamei sheret, so that was machlokas we saw before. That if it's a date, if it's only a 24-hour tumah, so then he could potentially eat the Korban Pesach that night. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so here with the someone who gets circumcision, why would he have to have a tevila here? It says that aval aral yisrael divrei kol tovel v'ocha. What tevila? So Tosos asks this question in aval aral yisrael. Right, if you look at the top, the fourth line down, third line down in Tosos, aval teimal riva delo matzin mishum makom tevila biyisrael shemala filu midrabanan. There is no such thing. So unclear exactly why there would be. Let me see the note down here. It says Tosfos Yontif says that this is a tefila for Yontif, just a stam tefila. I don't know why. Oh, okay. If it's a circumstantial thing where he happens to go into the mikvah, even though he's going to do a circumcision and a tefila, which is resembles a conversion process, and therefore maybe it's going to look like the convert will think of something, whatever. So then we still don't say that. Okay, Tananam Yachli Brisa says Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar lo nachu beisham beisul al arli yisrael shetovel v'elchas pischol erev. If it's a Jew who's getting circumcised, you obviously go into the mikvah, or you just get a circumcision and then do whatever mikvah this is. I'm not really sure exactly what it is that we just said from Tosfos Yom Tov. Maybe it's just a circumstantial thing. V'elchas pischol erev alman nachu al arli nachu shibeisham beomer tovel v'elchas pischol erev ubeis hill omer kibosh ben arl, kibosh ben kever. Beis Hillel says, no, we have to treat the person like tamei so that they don't come to the next year have the misconceived notion. Okay. Amarava. Arl hazavi zemel divrayim hamidu divrayim makum karis. That when it comes to an arl, when it comes to sprinkling the blood, and when it comes to the knife that they have to bring through Rishas HaRabim, so then the Chachamim come along and they actually do prevent someone from doing a mitzvah which brings karis. So what is that situation? Onin, let's do the other category first. Onin mitzora beis hapras lo mi divrei makom karis. However, for a mitzora, for someone who has to travel through a plowed graveyard, basically, and an onin, sorry, I missed the onin, so then they did not stop those people from getting Karan Pesach that night. So Arel had the Arman. When did we say that an Arel is not allowed to do Karan Pesach? We just said it by the Ger Shinis Geyer. Interesting, it uses the word Arel and not the word Ger, but either way, so that's the situation where the rabbis are going to prevent from a Dindra Abana, right? Beis Hillel made a Gezerah about a Ger, about a convert, lest he come to think the next year something's wrong. And so that's a Gezerah Dirabanan. Right, and they say nonetheless that they cannot do the mitzvah d'oraisa of Karban Pesach because of that gzeira d'rabbanan, according to Beis Hillel. So that was what we just harahal d'amran. That's what we just said. Haza d'amar mar. Rabbi Akiva says, and you know, we did this a month ago. Haza shvus v'enedochas haShabbos. That sprinkling the blood is only a midrabbanan iser, right? To sprinkle the blood for the sake of someone who's tamei meis. Sorry, sprinkle the water. Someone who's tamei meis. But we don't allow them to do it on Shabbos. So therefore, here too, you would not allow the person to do it on, if Erev Pesach was on Shabbos. If Erev Pesach was on a Monday, so then there's no problem. But if it's Shabbos, that's when we're saying that the rabbis enacted this Gezerah Midrabanan, according to Rabbi Akiva. And Izemel, when it comes to the knife, to Tanya, remember this one's goody, an oldie but a goodie. We did this about 4 months ago. 4 months ago? Yeah, 4 months ago. Kishem she'en revino so derech Rishas HaRabim, kach ein revino so derech gagos v'derech hatseiros v'derech karpefos. Oh, sorry. Sounds like Erevin, but it's actually Shabbos, and therefore it was 9 months ago. You know, a lot, much longer ago. Feels like much longer ago, even longer than 9 months ago. But we once upon a time learned Shabbos together, and we learned over there the machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva about whether you can bring a knife through the Rishas HaRabim in order for the sake of, in order to do the bris milah of a child. And here we have a situation where they're not bringing it necessarily through Rishas HaRabim, which would be Asur Midaraisa, but rather only bringing it through rooftops and courtyards and karpefs, which are all technically on a Midaraisa level, they're all considered Rishrios Hayachid. But because they're separate, even if they're connected, because they're separate entities, so then we're going to consider like you're going through different domains, unless you come to take it from a private to a public or a public to a private. We made a gezerah, and you're not allowed to even override that gezerah for the sake of a bris milah. Presumably, you do it the next day. So Gemara says, and onen had amran. We already said about the onen that they'd be allowed to bring Karan Pesach that night because that's only an onen. That's only issur d'rabbanan according to that shita in the Mishnah, which is that an onen at night is only midrabbanan. So mitzora mahi, what's the halach about mitzora? Where do we find that a mitzora who's usher in some capacity, midrabanan, we'd still allow them to do the Karan Pesach that night? So mitzora mahi, tatan in the mitzora shechal shmini shalabar Pesach, the eighth day, I guess when they're finished their mitzora, so then that eighth day is Erev Pesach. V'ra kari bo bayom, and then they saw kari, they had an emission of some kind. So then they're not allowed to go into the Har HaBayis, and therefore they're not necessarily allowed to. They're not allowed to
bring a carbon.
Bring a carbon. But why can't you do it for them? Why does the Mitzvah have to go to Har HaBayis to do a Karban Pesach?
They say to go there to be.
If it's for the mitzora,
purification process.
I think it's for the mitzora, not for the
part.
Yeah. In order to be out, to be un, to in order to undo his status as a mitzora, he has to go into the Beis HaMikdash and get the carbon done for that. I don't know why he can't do that also by shliach. There must be something that he has to do physically. I don't remember the whole process, but either way, so Erev Hazavra Bo Keri Bo Bayom. Tovel v'ochel, So Amar Chachamim Afa Bisha Tzvul Yom Hu, Eino Nichnas, you're not allowed to go into Har Abayis. Zeh Nichnas, this one is allowed to go to Har Abayis. Mutav Yavo Asa Yishesh Bokaris V'yidcha Asa She'en Bokaris. In order to do the Karan Pesach, will allow the Baal Keri to go into the Beis HaMikdash in order to outdo the Mitzorah so that he can bring the Karan Pesach later that day. Very interesting that they're matir that. So the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, Dvar Torah Avil Asa Inbo. According to Midaraisa, so there's not even an Isser Asa. This is machlokas about whether or not a Baal Keri is allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash. Shenemar, because the Pasuk in Divrei Yom says, Vayamar Yehoshua Bekal Yehudah Yishlam Beis Hashem Levnei Chatzar Chadasha. My Chatzar HaChadasha. What does it mean that the Chatzar is brand new? Shechitchu Bo Davar. That he had established a new halacha about it. Meaning Yehoshua established a new thing. What was that new thing? That the person who is supposed to be a mikveh and be tovel, so they're not allowed to. They're no longer allowed to go into the Har Abayis. So that implies that it wasn't already asur midaraisa because he had to institute that gezera. And therefore, what we're dealing with is only asur midarabanan. So all the more so should the mitzvah be allowed to go into Har Abayis to do his purification process, not become a mitzvah anymore, and thereby also allow the Karban Pesach to be brought. Okay, Beis HaPras. What about a Beis HaPras, which is the field which has been plowed over and has possibly has some bones? Ditznan, the Mishnah says, in Aholos, Veshavin Beis Shavin Beis Yelel, Shebot Kin Laosei Pesach, Ve'ein Bot Kin Lochei Truma. That in order for the person to do Karban Pesach, so the person has to look through Shebot Kin Laosei Pesach, that you have to look through the field to make sure there are no bones there. And as long as you look through it and you don't see any bones, so then you're allowed to pass through it and go into to Yerushalayim. And that's the situation we're allowing you them to do it. However, for the sake of Truma, we're not going to allow you to go through a field. Rather, you have to wait and do it a different way. Either the Truma comes to you or you go around, whatever. So, my botkin, what does that mean? What does that mean that you have to check it? Lo se pesach, amar Rav Yehuda, amar Shmuel, menapeach beis hapras. So you have to sort of, it says here that you have to blow it with your mouth. Nowadays, I assume you just get a leaf blower or something like that. It will be much easier just to move around all the pebbles and things. The holich, and then you can go. Rav Yehuda, bar Rabbaya, mishmed, Rav Yehuda, amar beis hapras, shenidash, tahor. If you see footprints, basically, if you see people that have walked through it already, so you can assume that it's tahor, you don't have to really look at it, but that's good enough to be bodek. If there's a path, that's basically bodek. Hanjanullah Haisha will come back to you, Haisha. We've mentioned a few times in the Masechta about somebody who's tameh, but we haven't really talked much about someone who's far away. If you look at the Pasuk tells us explicitly, not only is someone who's tameh not able to bring the Karban Pesach on the first time, but also someone who's v'derech rechoka. If you look at the pasuk in Pamidbar Tes Yud, Daber of Yisrael Emor Ish Ish Kiyat Tamei LeNefesh O v'derech rechoka Lachem O Derosechem Vasa Pesach LaHashem. He should still do the Karban Pesach Sheni. Right, so tamei in derech rechoka. So the Gemara says, so the Mishnah says, Mishai tamei in derech rechoka, v'lo asa es harishon yase es hasheni. So if you didn't do the first one, you do the second one, obviously. So the Gemara continues and says, shagag onanas, if you mistakenly didn't bring the Karban Pesach in the first one, or you were forcibly not able to for some other reason, v'lo asa es harishon yase es hasheni, you also should do the second one. So the Gemara says, im kein, lam enemar tamei o sheherech shahaya b'derech rechoka. Why, if it's conclusive of other people who are not tameh and not far away, so why would the pasuk specify those people? She'elu patur meikares, ve'elu chayavim beikares. Those people, the tameh and the derech rechoka, are not going to be chayav kares for the fact that they're tameh or derech rechoka or far away. But these other people who are shogeg, who didn't do so accidentally, or who are for some reason outside of their own control, not able to bring Karban Pesach, they would be chayav kares. But they still have the ability to bring Karban Pesach Sheni. Well, the Gemara is going to talk about what exactly does that mean? What does it mean that you get Karis the first one and then you can do the second one? What's the point of the second one if you already have Karis? So we'll talk about different shitas. So Gemara says, Itmar, If you are far away, and they nonetheless shechted and did the zrika for you, Rav Nachman Amar Hortzer, Rav Nachman says it works, and therefore if you come that night, let's say you're walking from far away, and technically you would not be at the Beis HaMikdash in the time of your shechita, but nonetheless they do it for you. You know, he's on his way, we'll prepare the food, and you know, imagine if like you're at a restaurant, and everybody's ordering, and you don't want to wait for everybody to show up, because you want the food to be there, so you call the people up, and you say, hey, what do you want? You know, what do you want? You want this, you want your regular, whatever, so you order the food, and hopefully by the time he gets there, he'll be able to eat the food that's at his plate. So to hear, the guy's derech rechok, he's too far away to be included into the Har HaBayis for the whole ceremony, but they nonetheless shecht it for him. By the time that night comes around, he'll show up at the Seder, and they'll be able to eat it. So Rav Nachman says, Hortzer, Rav Nachman says, his yotze is a mitzvah, and he does not have to bring Karan Pesach Sheni. This, however, is a situation, I believe, even if he doesn't make it. I think that's what we're talking about. Meaning, if he does make it and he eats it, so of course he's yotze. I think that's the case.
What is the term hortza?
Hortza means it's wanted, like rotze. Like the tzitz is meratze. So hortza means it works. I think this might even be the case if he doesn't come and eat from the Karan Pesach. He's still considered to be within the realm of the Karan Pesach.
And they say yafa lefa?
Yeah, Hortza means he doesn't have to bring Karan Pesach Sheni. Hortza means like he's been Yotze.
But as you were saying, it could be even when he's not eating it.
That's what I thought. It doesn't say that in this Gemara explicitly. I'm trying to see if Rashi says it.
I mean, wouldn't the Gemara have said Yavo v'Yafo? I mean,
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. It's not a foolproof evidence, but it's possible. Yeah, my impression is Rashi. Let me see.
Is there anybody he somehow made it there unexpectedly in time, and others had meanwhile slaughtered on his behalf?
Yeah, I think the Gemara is going to talk about this a little bit more soon. Tosos brings it up.
There's a comment that's going to be covered later.
Yeah.
Figure out what it means by the others, you know, the second case.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm probably getting confused with later on in the Gemara. I thought that's what it's talking about, but I'm probably just thinking of the later part of the Gemara. So Rav Nachman, and then Rav Sheshes Amar Lohertz. Rav Sheshes says, no, you still have to bring Karan Pesach Sheni. If you're B'derech Rechoka, you can't do it. Why? Rav Nachman Amar Hortz, Mechas Hudachas Rachman Alav. The Torah has sense, you know, it has mercy on you. You know, you missed the train, and now you have to walk or whatever. I don't know. You have to somehow get there, and you're going to get there later. So the Torah says, we'll give you some leeway. The Avid Tabalov Racha, and if you do it, even if you're B'derech Rechoka, so then we'll say that it counts. Rav Sheshes Amar Lohertz, Rav Sheshes says, no, practically, midcha dachi rachmana katame. This, I can imagine, is a good nafkamina for nowadays. You know, nowadays, if you are far away, you know, with the ease of transportation that we have, we're going to see what exactly counts as far away. But nowadays, you can go a lot faster, a lot farther distances, even if you were to be considered bederech rechoka, according to the Torah, you could still easily make it to Yerushalayim, and therefore, this machlok is very important. Do we see that categorically, if you're a certain distance away, you are no longer included within Karan Pesach, or do we see it as an opportunity? You could still make it if you wanted to. So, you know, they're very relevant, you know, for someone who's a, you know, businessman and, you know, takes a quick flight over from wherever to get there in time for Karan Pesach, presumably, that even if he was B'derech Rechoka.
About the people that were exempt from Karis and could do Pesach Sheni are those that was beyond their control, and what hasn't got into is those that are liable for Karis.
No, those that were under, those who were, it was beyond their control, they are Chayiv Karis for the first one.
Beyond their control, they're Chayiv Karis for now.
That was the implication of the Mishnah. That was the implication of the Mishnah.
The implication of the Mishnah is somebody holds a gun to your head.
Right. Yeah.
And says, don't go, then you're Chayav Karet. And the only excuse, that not being a valid excuse, the only valid excuse is you're Tamei or on a
far away
journey.
Yeah, so we'll see. The Gemara is going to clarify what those categories are, because it's not 100% true that you're going to be Chayav Karis. But so we'll see more. I don't know if it's today or tomorrow's daf.
Well, they say you're Chayav Karis, but you still have to bring a Korban and Pesach Sheni.
Yeah, okay. So what does that mean?
You had a Pesach Sheni and says, don't do it.
So we'll have to see. We'll have to see.
By a truck or something.
Yes.
Someone's pulling a gun to your head. I'd rather be shot than be high of cars. You know, that's, you can't get out of it.
We'll write that in your Gadol book.
The implication, but that's an odd one.
You're a good man.
We'll write that in your Art Scroll biography, Michael. So I once, someone used that line on me like many years ago, like the year after I came back from Eretz Yisrael. So someone asked me what my phone number was, and I started by saying 052. And he said, oh, we're going to write that in your Art Scroll biography, because I was still in Eretz Yisrael mode, even though I wasn't living in Eretz Yisrael. So either way, so Rav Nachman Amar Hortz Mecha Sud Dechas Rachman Allah Ve'i Avid Tavolav Bracha Rav Sheish Amar Lo Hortz Mincha Dachir Rachman Kedame. Categorically, he's too far away, and therefore he's no longer able. He's no longer able to be Yotzi the Karban. So Amar, even if he would come back that night, Amar Rav Nachman Minamin Allah Ditnan. How do I know? Says Rav Nachman, how do I know you're still kosher? You still could be Yotzi your Karban Pesach if you come back that night. Ditnan. The Mishnah says Misha Tame Ova Derech Rechov Lo Asas Rishon Yasas Hasheni. Right, if somebody was far away, velo ases harishon. What do you mean, velo ases harishon? Just say he's far away. According to Rav Sheshes, it should just say if he was far away, and then we would know he has to do Pesach Sheni. But no, it says he's far away and lo ases harishon, and he didn't do it. Meaning, michlad di ibayavid. If he wants to, he could. Rav Sheshes amar lach. Rav Sheshes says back. Rav Sheshes is one that says no, you're categorically excluded. So ihachi sefa. What about the end of the mission where it says the katani shagar gonanas v'lo asas harishon yasas hasheni? It also says v'lo asas harishon if you're shogeg or nanas. So mid the katani v'lo asa mechlad ibay avid hare shagag hare nanas. Right? How could you ever concoct the kids? It says shagag or nanas. He wasn't able to do it. So what does that mean? Ibay avid. It can't be that when it says the words, the phrase, v'lo ases harishon, it's implying that you could do the rishon. He's shagag onanas, means he can't do it. So therefore, it must be that in the end, it's not talking about ibay avid. It's not talking about a case where you could do it, because shagag v'hare nanas. Rather, it must be, hachanami onen katani badai, so too when an onen, onen katani badayu, they should have also included Onan in the first one because he could do it also.
It could be done for him.
Right.
I think it's what's implying.
But why is he talking about Onan all of a sudden? Yeah, I think he's using the Onan as sort of like a barometer, like a litmus test. If it's really the case that they can voluntarily be included, so then an Onan should also be included. Oh, well, sort of. Meaning that he thinks that an onin can't do it, just like the beginning is a part. Tamei and Derechok is also a case where they can't do it.
There's a Tosfos that says he could have done. The onin that could have done it and failed to do it because of, you know, being lazy or his grief is considered to have deliberately failed to offer the Pesach and is liable.
Yeah, the Onan is just lazy about it. Okay, I'm not 100% sure about why we need to bring the Onan into this discussion, but either way, Rav Sheshes proves that the first line when it says v'lo ases harishon doesn't mean that if somebody is tamei derech chokah they could. It just means that they didn't, and therefore they still be chayv and Pesach Sheni. So Amar of Ashim, as this Nami Daika makes sense according to Rav Sheshes too. Tekatani Elu Batur Meikaris Ve'Elu Chayv Meikaris. So Ahai, what's it talking about? People who are chayv and karis. Ile Mashogig Venanas. If you're going to tell me that they're chayv karis because they did something by mistake, or they forgot about the Karban Pesach, or they were forced by gunpoint that they couldn't do the Pesach. Shog Venanas Meikaris. Then who? You're going to tell me that that's referring to someone who's shogig or nanas? Elalava mezid ve'onin. It's rather referring to mezid and onin, someone who deliberately doesn't do the Karban Pesach. They're the ones that are chayv karis, and therefore the onin is connected to the second part of the Mishnah. The Gemara says, Rav Nachman, what about Rav Nachman? So Amar Lach, La'olam ha-mez l'chudei. It's really just talking about a mez l'uvedin, hu di'ibay le'i l'mis nechayev. It should have just said the word chayev, not chayavin. V'haydik t'hani chayavin, aydik t'han reisha, b'pturin, t'han sev chayavin. The fact that the Mishnah first says p'turin in plural also says at the end of the Mishnah, chayavin in plural, even though it's only referring to someone who's mezid, but Shogin and Anas, he agrees, are not chayev karis. Okay, we'll pick up, hold on, let me see if there's an easier stabbing point. No, not really. We'll pick up there tomorrow morning. Amar of Sheshis. Amar of Sheshis tomorrow morning. Okay, Shkach Rabosa, have a good day. Have a good way. Stay warm.